The story is the same year after year. A little boy is not exactly happy about having to go to church on Easter Sunday. His new shoes are too tight, his tie is pinching his neck, and the weather is just too spring-like to be cooped up once again in church. As the boy sulks in the back seat of the car on the way to church, his parents hear him mutter, "I don't know why we have to go to church on Easter Sunday anyway. They keep telling the same old story, and the ending is always the same." Of course, the boy is right, but so are author Anne Lamott and poet Anne Weems. Lamott has observed, "We are Easter people living in a Good Friday world, and I think that every year the world seems more of a Good Friday world." Or in the words of poet Anne Weems, "The only road to Easter morning is through the unrelenting shadows of that Friday." Well, which is it? Which is the truth? The same old amazing story of resurrection and new life, hope and love, or the unrelenting shadows of an ever-increasing Good Friday world? Which is true, and what indeed is the truth about our world and about our lives? Let's listen.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which had been very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You were looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Listen, if you will, to these powerful words of the beloved 19th century American author Louise May Alcott. "It takes so little to make a child happy," except in perhaps long worship services. "It takes so little to make a child happy that it is a pity in a world full of sunshine and pleasant things that there should be any wistful faces, empty hands, or lonely little hearts." Just over a month ago, Kate and I took our wonderful ninth grade confirmation class for our annual mission day at MAC, Manchester Area Conference of Churches. For the past 10 years or so, on these days of service, we have worked at the soup kitchen, the food pantry, the clothing thrift shop, the homeless shelter. We do everything from cleaning, sorting clothing, stocking, and organizing the pantry shelves, painting, preparing, and serving the food. We arrived early on that Saturday morning here at the church, all of us a little bleary-eyed, and we hopped into our cars. A bunch of guys got into the back seat of my Subaru, and with Kate riding shotgun, I immediately said she could change the station from my preset National Public Radio to whatever music station the boys wanted. But it wasn't long before I remembered a story I'd heard only a few days before on NPR about a soccer player named Messi, Leo Messi. So I asked Doug, Steve, and Elliot if they had heard of Messi. Yeah, of course, who hasn't? You see, Messi is the mega star Argentinian professional footballer who plays forward for the Spanish club Barcelona. Well, one little boy with a wistful face is 5-year-old Murtaza Ahmadi, who lives in a poor, remote village of Afghanistan, a country that has, of course, seen far too many people of all ages with wistful faces, empty hands, and lonely little hearts. A war-torn country that isn't always filled with sunshine and pleasant things. You see, in the midst of seemingly endless terrorism and war, Murtaza just wants to be a little boy. And like so many little boys and girls here in Glastonbury, Murtaza just wants to enjoy his favorite sport and to idolize his favorite sports hero, soccer player Messi. And like any younger brother often does, Murtaza was slowly driving his older brother crazy. You see, Murtaza couldn't stop talking about his hero, Messi, and he couldn't stop crying that he didn't have a Messi shirt with Messi's number 10 on it. Well, one day Murtaza found a plastic bag and ran towards his 15-year-old brother, Humayun, pleading with him to make a jersey out of it. So Humayun colored the plastic bag blue and white and then added Messi and the number 10. Well, the plastic bag shirt worked. Murtaza put it on, he stopped crying, and he went out to kick around a soccer ball. He couldn't have been happier. He was on top of the world. Well, this story has a wonderfully happy ending for Murtaza Ahmadi, the little soccer player in Afghanistan. Probably because of the internet, somebody got the photograph of the little boy to Leo Messi, and then it got to UNICEF, the international aid agency for which Messi happens to be the ambassador and with which his Barcelona club has a relationship. The rest, as they say, is history. Murtaza now has a couple of signed Messi shirts and a signed soccer ball and an invitation to come to Barcelona to meet Messi and his teammates. UNICEF, of course, was delighted to help in the effort to make Murtaza a happier kid. But when interviewed, a UNICEF official simply wanted to remind everybody who hears this story with a happy ending there are more than 43 million children worldwide who are trapped in emergencies of one sort or another. 43 million. I love Messi in football, Murtaza said. I want to become just like him, and maybe someday my neighborhood will have its own soccer field. Maybe someday. It takes so little to make a child happy that it is a pity in a world of sunshine and pleasant things that there should be any wistful faces, empty hands, or lonely little hearts. We know this world is filled with, to overflowing, with sunshine and pleasant things, but we also know too well that there are children of all ages, both near and far, who have those wistful faces, those empty hands, or those lonely little hearts. People are always walking through the unrelenting shadows of Good Friday to get to this Easter morning. The unrelenting shadows of Good Friday are cast when a loved one dies unexpectedly, when disease or illness or cancer hits a family, when one struggles with the declining health of old age, or we or a loved one struggle with depression or other mental illness. The unrelenting shadows of Good Friday are cast when a youth is lost in drug or alcohol abuse and addiction. Unrelenting shadows are cast when 22 American veterans commit suicide each and every day, all year long,
22 commit suicide. Unrelenting shadows are cast when every 3 days all year long, another 20 children under the age of 20 die of our senseless gun violence. That's 20 more children every 3 days all year long. Unrelenting shadows of Good Friday are cast with global climate change and with governmental budget cuts being made on the backs of our society's most vulnerable. The unrelenting shadows of Good Friday are cast when people are shot and stabbed, bombed or terrorized in California or Brussels, Texas or Paris. And unrelenting shadows are cast when a child in Hartford arrives at school hungry, unable to focus, unable to learn, unable to reach his or her fullest potential as a child of God, and to get the same educational opportunity as a child across the river in Glastonbury. And finally, unrelenting shadows of Good Friday are cast when a Syrian family of four, including a one-year-old, huddle in a cold tent, drenched to the bone, covered with wet blankets, in a surreal, squalid, improvised camp of 12,000 refugees with portable toilets overflowing. Friends, are these shadows the ultimate truth of our lives and of our world? Or is there another truth that is even more powerful? I'm reminded of Gandhi's words, "When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love have always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they seem invincible, but in the end, they always fall." Think of it, always. The way of truth and love have always won. Think of it, always. In a London art gallery, there is a painting titled Checkmate. It's a great painting. It has the devil on one side of the chessboard and Faust on the other side. Well, the devil has Faust cornered. The devil has chess pieces all over the board, and all that Faust has is a queen, a king, and a bishop. And the painting is called Checkmate because the devil has a big grin and Faust is sweating. Well, on a tour of this London art gallery, the tour guide was gathered around this painting and described to the people in the tour how much it costs, where it came from, what the materials were used to make it. And then the tour moved to the next painting, and then the next painting, and then the next gallery. No one seemed to notice that there was a man who continued to just stay at that painting. He stared at it, he stared at it, he stared at that chessboard with the devil and Faust. Then when the tour group was two or three rooms down the corridor, there was heard booming down that marble corridor, "It's a lie! It's a lie! The king has another move." One Friday afternoon, when Jesus took his last breath and bowed his head, and they took him off the cross and they put him in the ground, it looked like checkmate. It looked like the game was all over. But then one Sunday morning, 3 days later, coming from eternity, there were the words, "It's a lie, it's a lie, the king has another move." Friends, we are here on this Easter morning to proclaim once again that Good Friday is a lie. The king has another move. This congregation, this cherished family of faith, has made its move. This family of faith knows in its very heart and its very soul that love will always, always win. The kingdom and the power and the glory are God's forever. Death and despair are not victorious. Good Friday is a lie. This beloved family of faith knows in its heart and in its very soul that love always wins. Think of it. Love always wins. Alleluia and amen.